Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition.
I love this reaction show.
For the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz, and thank you for downloading this edition of HPM, and appreciate you guys subscribing to the show and the popularity of the show. Thank you so much. It's rocking and rolling, going great. Everybody at Play It and CBS Radio, very happy and proud of your boy. So that's good, because my goal is to make CBS happy. That's my goal. So anyway, here's the thing. Great episode for you here. I'm going to talk about some stuff. Had a lot going on this week. Most importantly, I want to talk about in this episode, my special guest, NXT superstar, rising star, Bull Dempsey from WWE's NXT, will be jumping on here with your boy, Taz, shortly. So we're going to get to that. It's going to be a fun interview. Bull's just a great guy. A kid, I'm calling him a kid. He's not a kid, but he's a young man who's got his future ahead of him. He's in the right spot with the WWE and NXT, so I think the future's bright for him. And hopefully you guys that aren't too familiar with Bull are going to learn a lot about him in this particular, easy for me to say, episode. So it's kind of crazy goings going on. But by the way, Seth, please open your mic here. My producer, Seth, for those that don't know. Say hello, Seth.
Hello, sir.
Dude, let me tell you something. I'm watching the Hoops game. I know you're a big basketball guy. I'm watching the Cavaliers, and I'm watching the Golden State Warriors, okay? I fall asleep because I'm old, right? Now, I know LeBron looked great, okay?
Well, he's the best basketball player in the world.
Well, he is. But then some would say, Golden State Warriors, Stephen Curry.
Steph Curry.
Excuse me, Stephen.
Steph Curry.
You sound like my son. My son's arguing with me last night.
His name is Steph Curry.
No, Steph is short for Stephen.
Like he goes by Steph Curry. That's who. Bro, calls him Stephen Curry.
My son, he gets hot at me last night.
I'm getting hot at you now.
I can tell you sound really angry. You sound very aggressive.
And you look a little nervous.
And I'm very, very nervous. I'm telling you right now, I don't care if your name is Stefan, I'm calling you Steve. That's what I'm saying. Where I'm from, you're Steve. You know what I mean?
That's why you're never going to sit next to Van Gundy and Jackson calling the game.
That's true. And that's good for basketball fans because I would be a horrible color commentator in basketball.
Oh, dunk!
So what happens is now what happens? I fell asleep. Who won the game? What happened?
Overtime. Golden State. 108-100.
Nice. I was pulling for them. That's good. Who had more points? Curry or Stephen Curry or...
Stephen Curry scored zero. Steph Curry had 26 points. LeBron James had 44 points.
Wait, hold on. How much did Curry have?
26 points.
Oh, wow. I know LeBron was on fire early in the game. I know that.
Golden State is the best team in basketball.
They play fast, bro.
They have a full team.
Yes.
You need a full team to win.
You need a full team. I agree with
you. LeBron is so good. He got his team to the finals. He's missing. Kyrie Irving got carted off.
Got carted off, yeah.
Yeah, and Kevin Love's been out since the first round. So, it's a little bad luck for the Cavaliers this
Speaking
year.
Of bad luck, I got to tell you, you got to do something with your face, bro. I don't want to kind of change. It's a good opportunity to talk about someone that could help you, being that we're on the cusp of Father's Day right here, because your face is a little screwed up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because you need shave. You know how I am. You got to come in, you got to shave, bro.
We're on my audio. We're not on video.
I know, but I need to look at a shaved face. You know, I'm very proud of my face. I know you're proud of yours. You got to shave that thing, Seth. Seriously, so you got to go to my boys over at Harry's, man. Harry's.com. They got a special Father's Day deal going on right now. Just for listeners of my show, you're going to get $5 off the limited edition Father's Day set. Use the code TAZ when you check out. That's Taz, T-A-Z. This Father's Day set is awesome, man. It is you get your razor. Basically, it's the chrome Winston handle. Winston. Ooh. Okay, yeah, it's chrome. It's very sharp. I actually have one.
Fancy.
Pardon the pun when I say sharp. It's a very nice handle. So you get the chrome Winston handle, you get three quality German engineered blades, you get Harry's shaving cream and or the shaving gel. They're both lovely, by the way. They're beautiful on your face.
Which one do you prefer?
I use the gel. I'm a gel guy.
You're a gel guy.
Yeah, my son, he uses the foam. He likes the foam. But anyway, you get basically the Winston handle, a little chrome gimmick. You get three high-quality Harry German engineered blades. You get the shaving cream or a foam and gel, and you get this new stand. The stand for your razor is like the little cube gimmick where your razor, the handle, stands erect. and it just
sits.
Yes, it just sits there, and it's awesome. You could get this engraved for your dad, for you, whoever, any father you know. Like I said in the past, if you want to get one for your chick or your old lady, your wife, and maybe she shaves her armpits or her legs, you can use Harry's. You know what I mean? So you get her name engraved on it, Becky, you know, Sarah, whatever her name is. You know, you throw it on there. It'd be great. So don't wait. Today's the last day to get free shipping. Today is the last day to get free shipping on this Father's Day set, just in time for the holiday. Order it now. Go to harrys.com. Enter my code TAZ at checkout. Get $5 off. Do it right now. I'm telling you. And it's a great gift to get the better shave. What is the deal now with you not being at Yankee Stadium when I'm there? Why were you not there with me at the charity softball game Boomer and Carton, WFAN put on for the NYPD, for the three slain officers, the proceeds go to their families? Why were you not at this great event with me?
Because you're Taz and I'm not.
Hey, that's the close of my show.
Oh.
That's my gimmick.
Oh, but the show's not over yet. Sorry,
but so nobody from CBS asked you to go? Boomer Carton, Al Dukes, nobody?
They don't know who I am. Al knows who I am. But
you sure about that?
I'm sure Al knows who I am, yes.
Al knows who you are because of me, I humbly say.
It's, you know, everything in my life is because of you.
Well, let's...
I would not even be here right now.
So I'm the reason why you're here.
You're the reason why I exist.
You got a lot of heat, too. We're going to get that in a little bit on Twitter with the fans. My fans are a little sick of your voice. Some love you, though. You got some heat, brother.
Yeah,
welcome to the wrestling business.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Meanwhile, my good buddy Taz here only retweets the people that hate me. The people that love me, he never retweets any of them. Oh, like, Jesus Christ. Totally set me up.
You caught me on that one.
He's like, yeah, I hate him too. Yeah, correct. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I got to get Mike today involved at one point. You're at a 50-50 with hatred, with heat on Twitter. You know,
me?
Yeah, you got 50-50,
bro.
Get
out of here.
You used to be a big baby face. You are a heel, public enemy, heel number one.
He talks too much.
Seth, Kung Fu Jabba, KFJ, all that gimmick, it's going to go out the window.
Oh, no.
People say you talk too much. You never shut up. That's an old song.
I'll go back to Seth, the producer.
Yeah.
You talk too much. You never shut up.
Remember that song. So we're over there at Yankee Stadium. You weren't there. It was an amazing event. It was, I mean, geez, dude, do you realize that this event, Boomer and Carton promoted it so much, and all this, I was on a celebrity team. I was the self-appointed bench coach. Okay, yeah, I couldn't play. I got the bad wheel, bad
shoulder.
Did you
ever play baseball, softball?
When I was a kid,
that?
I played baseball, and I was probably, I'm actually in the Softball Hall of Fame.
Are you?
But yeah, I'm under a different name. I can't say the name. So,
Schnabitz Furnham.
Schnabitz Furnham gimmick. That's my name. So, But no, I played back in the day, but I'm banged up. I can't run around. My knees screwed up, my shoulders screwed up. You know, so I go there, and I just wanted to support the NYPD and this great cause, and it really was. I mean, dude, there was over 15,000 people at Yankee Stadium to support this event. All the money goes to the families of the three recent slain officers that were killed in the line of duty. So it was a great event. Boomer and Carton, Al Dukes, all the guys over at the Boomer and Carton show, especially Boomer and Carton, so passionate about this. The station over there, WFAN, you know, CBS's baby. I mean, they did a great job. Everybody from CBS Corporate that was there, they treated me like gold. They treated all the celebrities like gold. We had this gigantic suite for not just the celebrities, but all the cop teams, because we played like three cop teams. They would play like three inning games, three, three, three. So each precinct got to play. And it was a blast. I mean, some of the celebrities like Willie Randolph was there, Joe Torre, Rex Ryan, you know, Buffalo Bills head coach, Bowles, the new head coach of the Jets, Tom Coughlin. What's his name? Bonner. He played for the Knicks.
Anthony Bonner.
Anthony Bonner was there. Good guy.
Rutgers coach.
Rutgers
right?
coach. Coach Flood, man. Coach Flood. A huge wrestling fan. Rutgers football coach. Coach Flood. Huge. Comes up to me. And I never met this guy in my life. He goes, beat me if you can. Survive if I let you. I popped. I'm like, wow. And so he's a big wrestling fan, which is kind of cool. Well, he was one fan there. There was not many.
I heard the cops are all into you.
Yeah, a lot of the cops.
From someone else I heard. Taz didn't tell me himself. I had someone else at work told me, the cops were all around talking to Taz. I said, well, you know, they're probably all wrestling fans back in the day. Like, you know, like
well, it could
us.
Be the hell I raised in New York when I was a kid. You know, in Brooklyn, right? That could be another reason. reason. No, no, no.
He got cuffed?
Yeah. No, no. It was cool to have a lot of those cops, those police officers come up to me and fans of mine. I'm like, no, I'm fans of you guys, you know, so you're protecting the city. So it was just a great event. It was a lot of fun. Ended up getting on, at TMZ reached out to me, so I was on TMZ.
That's
so
funny, man. It was so funny. It has the best line. They were talking about Chris Christie, who you said was a great guy.
Governor Christie, good guy. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and also Jersey, where I live.
Yeah, you represent the NJ. Yes. I hear you.
And his pants were like they were just too tight
and high
and not flattering.
Yeah.
So Taz called him the Pants Monster.
The Pants Monster on TMZ. At least nobody saw it. Yeah. So TMZ reached out. They wanted to sit down. They wanted me to kind of FaceTime in. I'm not like a big FaceTime guy.
You did it well. You managed.
I did.
Okay.
Well, they had you don't know what happened.
Oh no.
Earlier in the day, they said, "Look, if you don't know how to do it, we'll do a test run with you." So they had to call me and walk me through a test run, not a rehearsal, but how to like do the FaceTime gimmick. My kid was in school. He's a teenager, so he's an expert FaceTime guy, as you know. So all those teenagers are, you know. I mean,
grow up with it.
I didn't realize you had to turn the gimmick sideways, the phone. You got to turn it sideways. Well, when you're on TMZ, you do. So
TMZ, you do.
Yeah, that's what the guy told me.
You don't have to do it all
and
the time.
And they called me, and I don't have to make my caller ID, and it came up, FaceTime TMZ number. So they have it like logged, a number logged in.
So you know who it is.
Because if you watch their show, a lot of this stuff is FaceTime.
Smart.
You know? Very smart because it's cheap. It's free. You know,
easy.
It's free production.
Quick.
Yeah. Quick and easy. CBS sent over footage to this all happened, dude, in like a matter of an hour. So TMZ reached out to me, said, "Hey, we'd love to have you on. Of course, we want to do a piece on Governor Christie that was at the softball game. Can you talk about it?" Yeah, no doubt. And then they was nice enough to plug the podcast here, my show. And then they CBS said to me, "Hey, we'll get them footage of the game." I emailed back to people at TMZ, like, "Yeah, we'll take the footage." Boom, I connected them. And then the footage was on TMZ.com and then live on TV, live to tape on TV.
I never thought I was going to see you on TMZ.
Why?
I don't, just didn't think about it, unless like, you know.
What am I, a jobber now all
unless,
of a sudden?
Maybe like a road rage traffic incident or something. Yeah.
Yes, that could happen. All right, like I said, we got my man from NXT, Bull Dempsey, coming up. You know Bull, right? You've seen Bull.
Yes, I have. Well, yeah. You know, because I know your connection to Bull, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I hope to have, in the future, near future, other NXT superstars on the show.
Awesome.
So it's great that WWE is willing to do that and support my show and give a voice out to a shout out to their young talent. I think that's cool and it's kind of cool getting old school wrestler like myself talking to some of these young guys, you know, kind of connect that thing up a little bit from different generations, you know. So it'd be great. So anyway, how about this, man? I mean, before we get this interview with Bull Dempsey, big news, speaking of NXT, I mean, just announced, right, this Wednesday on NXT, William Regal, the GM, basically said at the July 4th WWE Super Show in Tokyo at Sumo Hall, Finn Balor, number one contender for the NXT Championship, will challenge Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, I should say, the champion. I don't want to get yelled at for the Owen thing. Kevin Owens, NXT champ versus challenger. Finn Balor in Tokyo, live July 4th on the WWE Network. Sign me up for that, boys and girls. That's going to be awesome, bro.
Oh, I'm totally watching that. I mean, and he cut a great promo talking about that's where he cut his teeth in wrestling. That's where he, you know.
Dude, Finn is over. And listen. The champion, Kevin Owens, also in Tokyo, in Japan. Yo, their style, those guys, that whole card's going to be awesome. But I got to tell you, I worked years ago in Sumo Hall. I know I worked in Sumo Palace, but I think that's in Osaka, I think. And I think I worked in Sumo Hall too. I don't remember. But I do remember when I hit Tokyo, and I thought it'd be cool if it was a full NXT show. But that's not the case. Full just NXT at Corken Hall. That'd be awesome. Because Corken Hall is a traditionally great building for pro wrestling for decades.
Isn't that where they do the New Japan shows?
I believe they do some, but
I
yeah.
I watched it on Access. I think that's where it's from.
Yes, it is. Every company's worked there for the most part. It's kind of like, I'm going to go back towards my generation. It's kind of like Japanese version of the Elks Lodge or the ECW Arena's feel, like that type of, older, grittier type thing, but real hardcore fans, just a great atmosphere. But Sumo Hall, I believe it's a lot bigger, from understanding.
Well, it's a super show.
So yeah, you know, it's a lot bigger. And Corker Hall's not a big place. So WWE can't do a show. They can do whatever they want, but they can't do a show at Corker Hall. Not with their main roster guys. An NXT show would be sick there, I got to say. But anyway, July 4th, that's going to be awesome in Tokyo at live. Sumo Hall. Live, man.
What's the time difference?
15 hours from the Northeast. 15 hours. They all be hot. Oh, man,
so it'll be like this. Noon there. Like,
it'll.
You can do 8 o'clock live on the network.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. They are 15 hours ahead of us, I believe.
Right. So 8 a.m.
So they're 15 hours ahead of us.
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow. That's so cool. It should be sick. Yeah, man. So champion Kevin Owens, NXT champion, going to challenge Finn Balor. On the WWE Network. I don't know. I like Finn's chances in Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
I like his chances.
The stars are aligned.
Yeah, I think so. But it's going to be a great match. I mean, definitely cannot wait. I'm fired up for that. NXT doing a lot of special stuff. And I'm a big fan of what they do. Everybody out there that listens to the Human Podcast Machine, listens to my show, knows that I'm a big supporter of NXT for sure.
He just had an awesome match with Rhino.
Who's he? Pronouns.
Balor.
I know. I don't like pronouns. If you're going to open your mic and talk here, bro, stop with the pronouns.
NXT last Wednesday, Balor versus Rhino. Great match.
That's why you got heat with the fans, because you talk too much.
All right.
See? That's why. Because you talk too much. You got heat on Twitter because you talk too much.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes. Go ahead.
Also, big news on that card is Brock Lesnar is listed to be on that card.
Yeah. Yes. Against Kofi Kingston. Yeah. That's gigantic in itself. I mean, the whole card's gonna be great. I mean, I just wanted to. I'm not gonna sit and do a card rundown, but I was talking about NXT because it's hot news for the most part, and we have an NXT superstar coming on here in a second in Bull Dempsey. So we're gonna take a quick break. We'll have my man from NXT, Bull Dempsey, coming at you. This is the Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz. That other voice you hear sometimes is Seth. We'll be right back.
Human Podcast Machine.
Oh, so you think we do this show for free?
Yes.
No. Time to pay the bills. Let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So, it's June, and the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. Won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. Welcome back right here to the Human Podcast Machine with me, Taz. And you hear the tune, baby. As promised, he's on the hook right now. My man from NXT, Bull Dempsey. Big Bull, what's up, brother?
What's going on, Taz? How you been, man?
Dude, I'll tell you, this music, whoever put this together, you need to take them out to dinner because they hooked you up.
That's what everybody keeps telling me.
Yeah, man, it's totally cool. I don't know if that's a Jim Johnson deal or whatever, but that's really cool. That's good stuff. That would get me fired up. I'm sitting here in the studio in the morning hearing that, and I want to go smash somebody's face in. So, look, man, you and I go back a little ways, and you know, you've been basically, you've had the opportunity to get trained by a couple different guys earlier in your career, and I've been one of those guys. Along with guys like Matt Bourne and Doring and stuff and Kodiak Bear. But, you know, going to NXT, what was that like for you, bro? Just being there, was it humbling going in where you almost have to be retrained and you're learning underneath the WWE banner?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely humbling, man. When, especially when you walk in that building, at first it's kind of intimidating because you see seven rings and state-of-the-art gym and these locker rooms that, you know, I'm used to getting changed in, you know, dirty little bathrooms at some VFW hall, and then you walk in there and, you know, state-of-the-art locker room, showers, you know, in a kitchen, and you're kind of like,
wow,
like, here, is this happening right now?
Yeah, we didn't have that at Johnny Rogers School back in the day for me, but anyway. No, but you've earned that, and a lot of the guys and gals that come through the NXT doors have earned that. I mean, it's pretty interesting that the process that NXT goes through, it's just a potpourri of different talent from guys like yourself who've been through the ranks for several years and came up and know the business and almost at times have to get retrained, or someone that's maybe just a stud amateur wrestler or collegiate wrestler that WWE finds and say, let's train this guy from scratch. So I think it's a great concept. And I mean, if I was still wrestling or I was younger, I wish there was an NXT around. I say it all the time because it's just a great place. NXT's become a place, dude, where it's not just a great place to grow. It's a great place to just work. It seems like a fun place to work.
Oh, it's so much fun, man. Like, a lot of people keep comparing it to, you know, hitting on what ECW had, you know, years ago when you were there and Van Damme and Dreamer and all you guys were tearing it up, and kind of going along the same path with these live events on the road that we're doing. You know, next week we're in Pittsburgh and Columbus and Cleveland, and it's pretty cool, man, to hit the road and do stuff like that and get to perform in front of these crowds.
Yeah, because I'm sure for the time, like, once you started NXT and performing at Full Sail there in Orlando, it's got to get to a point sometimes where the crowd seems awesome. I got to say, it reminds me of like a modern day ECW-esque type crowd, because they're on top of all the gimmicks, all the promos, with the talent, what they're trying to sell, and they're cooperative with it, the audience, I mean. But once you leave there, and kind of, at times, as you know, right, and I'm sure you could attest to this, you got to worry, and I'm sure the rest of the roster worries about getting stale if you're performing in front of the same people all the time. So that keeps you on your toes, right?
Oh, absolutely. And even, you know, it transfers to our live events here in Florida, because a lot of the fans that come to Full Sail, they travel and they come and see us. So it's, you know, you can't go out there and just do the same thing every night. You got to always be on your toes, always be willing to change things up and do something different.
And I'm telling you, that's what makes you better, and you're smart enough to know that. And, like, so the thing with you is, you know, for those that don't know, with Bull Dempsey here, who I'm talking to from NXT, you know, you're a New York guy. I believe you grew up on Long Island, and I first met you when I was running, you know, a finishing school. I had this idea, and I started this school where it was just me, taking guys and girls that had at least 5 years' experience and kind of retraining them or giving them those finishing touches of what you need to cut a promo the right way to make it to one of the bigger companies, or, you know, to a WWE level, or how to work a match the right way, or change your look a little bit. And I did this all by myself, and it didn't last. It's gone now. But you were one of the first guys that came through those doors, and we spent time together there. And, you know, I hope that I was able to help you a little bit get to the level you're at now, and I'm so proud of you, by the way. So I hope that helped a little bit.
Oh, it helped a ton, man. I mean, getting in there with the first class that was in, and I remember actually calling in to, you know, Mike Mitchell, who was the strength coach and the conditioning coach. He called me up, and he made up some fake name that who he was. He was some manager or something.
Wait a minute. How do you know it was a fake name? What are you talking? How do you know it was a fake name? Are you saying that we were pulling the wool over people's eyes? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know, but he goes, yeah, you know.
Oh, wait. Did Mike stooge himself off to you after he got to know you? Oh, it was really me. He did.
I wouldn't stop busting his chops about it. So he, you know, he's giving me the rundown. Yeah, hey, can I just talk to Taz? Yeah, I just talk to the man one-on-one. And, he's in a meeting now. I went, oh, okay. So,
Wait, hold on. You didn't believe I was in a meeting either?
Oh, no, at the time I did.
Okay, good.
Then he kind of stooged himself off, and then as I got him on the phone, he goes, oh, you know what? He just got out of the meeting. I said, of course he did. And then I got on the phone with you, and we set up a thing. I came in and checked the place out, and it was awesome. That was it. Like, I was like, yeah, let's do this. This is going to be awesome.
I liked you right away. I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. To your credit, too, like, you know, what we signed up for originally was just the 1 week that we were going to spend with you and do all this stuff. And lucky for me, it was local to my house. And, you know, we did our one-on-one talk at the end of the the end of the thing, and he told me, you know, that he saw a lot in me, and he thought I could, you know, make an impact in wrestling, and so he invited me back. And I believe I came back for every single class that came through there. So thank you for that, because you didn't have to do that.
But I know I didn't, and I appreciate you acknowledging that. But I did that because I saw the desire in you, not to sound corny, the passion literally in your eyes, how bad you wanted this. It also helped that you were local, because I knew it wasn't costing you a ton of money like other cats that were coming from all parts of the country or the world. You know, it wasn't like you had to get a hotel or something like that. So it was just gas in your car going back and forth home. So I felt like you would help, too, with that newer class, and you did. I could use you as a model, and maybe you could pick some more stuff up. And you just definitely, I'm not surprised the success you're currently having. I'm happy for you immensely, and I think that you're just at the beginning of your success. And I think that's the cool thing, again, about that system that WWE has in place down there, and with Triple H and stuff, and the powers that be down there are doing. It really, and you know, the thing I tell you, Bull, that's cool. It's like, for example, when a wrestler or a superstar from NXT makes it to the main roster, and you see them on Monday Night Raw, on social media, you see all you cats from NXT tweeting and putting the guy over in support, and that team atmosphere is awesome, and it's refreshing in our business right now.
Yeah, and it definitely is a team. We're a lot like a family, because we do have to spend every single day together. And a lot of times, even, you know, if we get Sunday off, half the time you're hanging out with somebody that you work with, because it's just who we know and who we're with all the time.
Well,
and everybody is happy for each other. And even, like, you go on these events on the road, we're all on a bus together. You know, we're all spending the day together. We're all staying in hotels together. So you have no other choice but to bond with these people and become close to them.
Well, but I'm sure there are times where people get on your nerves, too. I mean, because you're around them a lot.
Oh, yeah, you know, there's time, but, you know, at the same time, there's 70-something people training in the Performance Center right now, I think,
wow,
the number. So you just go and hang out with somebody else.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you go to an ice cream shop. I don't want chocolate. I don't want Rocky Road. I'll take the pistachio. I'm good. Take us through your day, like as an NXT wrestler, superstar, with training, you know, like what, like from weight room time to wrestling time to whatever else you guys do, because I don't know. I'm curious to know. Like, take us through the day of if I was an NXT wrestler or if I was a guy there and I had 4 years experience and I'm there week two or three with NXT, what am I going to go through in one day?
All right, so it changes every month because all the class times are different, but I'll just walk you through, like, my schedule right now. So I'll do 8:30 in the morning. I'm in the weight room until 10 o'clock.
Now, hold on. That's mandatory. That's a mandatory lift, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. Right away, that's great. Love it.
And then, you know, it's a little bit of a break, and then from 12 to 3, I'm in the ring.
Mm. So you get time to eat, whatever, chill out, then you get in the ring for 3 hours.
Yeah. And then depending on the day, there's, you know, coaches will have extra sessions, you know, you just go and work on some stuff and a little more laid back. And once a week, you'll go to Dusty's promo class, which is usually around 4:30, and that'll last until maybe, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock sometimes.
Well, that's got to be awesome in itself to learn from a Hall of Fame legend like Dusty Rhodes, one of the greatest promo cutters, talkers in our business, the history of the business. So that in itself, I'm sure you've learned a ton from Dusty.
Oh, yeah, he's incredible, man. And even the whole coaching staff, you know, Matt Bloom and Sarah Amato are the two head coaches, and they're unbelievable people, and they know so much. And there's guys like Terry Taylor, who's run every major promotion in the last 30 years. Billy Gunn, who's just a wealth of knowledge from, you know, the things that he's done in the business.
Well,
and
arguably, probably the best athlete ever to lace up a pair of wrestling boots that I've ever been in a ring with. Between him and Rob Van Dam, two of the best athletes I've ever wrestled in my life, and both those guys.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty well documented that Billy Gunn is my best friend.
Oh, nice.
He has told me on many occasions that in the last 30 years, nobody's come into the wrestling business that has been as athletic as Billy Gunn until I came along. And
well,
if there is a missing persons report filed on me tomorrow, then you know who the suspect is. Because I don't think Billy's going to appreciate that, but I digress.
But hey, you stole my gimmick. That's my gimmick. Hey, so let me ask you, speaking of trainers, so like Bro, are you guys assigned a trainer? Like, do you have a specific, or kind of you guys mix it up?
We mix it up every couple months. It's just the coaches decide who goes in what class. But when I was first coming in, I was with Norman Smiley for probably the first 6 months, and he's just a wealth of knowledge that I don't think people ever give him enough credit that he deserves.
I agree.
And guys like Robbie Brookside and Nick Dinsmore was here for a short while, and those guys really helped me out when I was first starting out here.
Yep. So, being that you had to relocate, you know, leaving New York, staying down there, I mean, was that hard being away from your family? Or I noticed it's something that you always wanted. I'm assuming you miss your family, but was that hard? Did you get homesick at all? I mean, you know, everybody wants to have that machismo and be a tough guy. I'm never homesick, but, you know, it gets hard. I remember when I first broke in and I had to do a loop in Japan, in Puerto Rico. I was there for like 4 weeks. After like week two, I started missing home. It was really weird. And, you know, I wasn't like some young kid. But so at times you go through that where you miss New York or miss your family?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's natural. And I think that anybody that moves down here kind of feels that way. But, you know, I'm also a plane ticket away. It's not a big deal. It's a couple-hour flight.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, you look at people that we have that are international. You know, Hideo Itami left his wife and his two sons in Japan to come here and do his thing. You know, so everybody's, you know, it could always be worse. That's how I always
feel. Well, that's a great, well, right there in itself shows that why you're having such early success, and that will continue, because that's attitude, and that's great attitude. And I humbly say I saw that in you right away, and that's what I was so proud to align myself with you back in the day, because of that attitude. And that's a tremendous job by you, and keep that, obviously, because you're right, it always could be worse. And you speak of someone like that's leaving Tokyo, leaving their family, leaving Japan, and that's sacrifice in itself. Look, to be successful in this business, right, you got to sacrifice. Some of us sacrifice more than others. You know, and I think as long as you have that attitude and realize it could always be worse, that's going to keep you ahead of the curve, man. Good job on that, Bull. I'm sorry, you were saying something?
No, it's just, thanks. I appreciate the kind words, man.
You're very welcome, sir. So now with these live events, so how that like you were talking about it earlier, that you guys are doing, a swing in Pittsburgh, Columbus. I don't remember the other town you said. Pittsburgh, Columbus, and where?
And Cleveland.
Cleveland, nice. Okay, so those are pretty good drives from each other. That's not bad. I've done that. That's pretty cool. So that's good. That's more bonding time. Now, working in front of these crowds, as I know, those recent swings that recently you guys did in the Northeast, you guys were in Philly. You guys were up in Albany, I believe.
Yeah, two shots in Philly, and then we did Albany on the last night.
Nice. So that, I mean, I've heard scuttlebutt. And read stuff online, because, you know, if you read it on the internet, Bull, it's all shoot. You know that. It's all true. No, but the positive stuff I read, which was, it seems like everyone loves NXT, so it's a lot of positive. The crowds were hot. It was phenomenal, I heard. Just great, great, perfect venue sizes that you guys are going in. And it had to be an amazing buzz. It had to feel great, different than Orlando, right?
Oh, totally, 100%. And, you know, the cool thing is, we're leaving the building on the first night and getting on the bus, and the people wouldn't leave. They just stayed by the bus, and they were chanting everybody's name, cutting everybody's promos. They were just doing their thing, but they were there supporting us. They didn't leave. They wouldn't leave until the bus left. It was crazy.
Did you say bus?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Bro, let me get this straight. So, you guys got a bus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Where was the bus when I was breaking in? I was getting run over by buses. Oh, that's... So it's like, I mean, the only time I've been in a bus as a wrestler is when I go to Japan. They'd have the Gaijin bus for the Americans, and they have the Japanese bus. But, I mean, I'm jealous. That's why I'm saying that I didn't know you guys had a bus. I thought you guys were renting cars and stuff, but I guess they're keeping you guys together as a family, so it's easier on your cost, obviously, right? I'm assuming that's the reasons.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Wow. So I'm being sarcastic because I'm jealous. That's the only reason why. I'm being one of those bitter old-timers, Bull, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have a bus. I had to walk to the town. You know what I mean? I had my Halliburton, and I walked to the town. I don't think your generation even knows what a Halliburton is. You don't know. Halliburton is... You know the metal suitcases you see, like you'll see. You ask Dusty Rhodes or any of those guys what a Halliburton is. It's a suitcase.
Oh yeah, Norman has one.
There you go. So, so wrestlers of my generation were all about that. Once you had a Halliburton, bro, it was like you made it. flows up. It's kind of crazy, but that's kind of how materialistic I guess we were. But so now going through everything you're going through, Bo, and this point in your career, I mean, is this kind of exactly where you want to be? And obviously, I'm assuming you have aspirations of making it to the main roster. If you weren't at the main roster, it seems like you're having a blast right now just in NXT. I mean, where's your head at?
Well, I think anybody that's at this level or even at any level, you're going to be competitive, and obviously the goal is to get to the main roster. It's not to stay in NXT, but to see how much NXT's grown and the stuff we're doing at the time, it's really, really cool, and it's amazing to be a part of it, but obviously it's always in the back of your head to just, okay, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Let's get better. How do we get out of here? How do we go to the main roster? And then from there, it's the struggle of, how do I work my way up the card? How do I dance between those raindrops? So it's a
little bit of a struggle. Yeah, I can tell you. it's not easy. So be careful what you wish for. But it is great. I mean, that you got to have those goals, right, to make it to another level. And obviously, being on Raw, SmackDown is the ultra. You know, it's the tippy top. But I find it interesting that a gentleman like from my generation in Rhino ends up coming back to the WWE, and he ends up on NXT with NXT, rocking and rolling. We see Samoa Joe, he made his debut in NXT, where back in the day, those guys would have debuted right on the main roster. But wrestlers or workers or whatever you want to call them, superstars that are still maybe, like I said, from my generation or generation after mine, that are kind of seem like they're happy and more than happy to be working with NXT because it is a very cool brand. It's become, in my opinion, Bull, NXT has become more than just like my producer here, Seth. He said in a show recently where some people say, Seth, jump on. I know you said it was a proving ground. What did you say before? You said it was, and I said proving ground's a better way to put it. You said a different...
I can't remember what I said.
Well, see, that's the problem. See, Bull, right here's the problem. I got Seth.
Bull, how did you deal with Taz back in the day?
He would have remembered it.
What's that, Bull?
If it was in Gary Hart's book, he would have remembered it.
Oh! The Quran.
Bull's done his homework!
Hey, Bull, what can you tell us about working with Taz? What was that like?
Oh, it was awesome, man. Taz is a man.
Really?
But I do actually, there are a couple good stories.
Please. Hey,
easy. Kayfabe.
So.
Anything you can share with us?
Yeah. Well, first of all, going back to Mike, I remember Mike wrote up this whole itinerary for, you know, what the classes were, and you're looking through everything. You're like, all right, Mike, what's next? And Mike goes, open chat.
Yes, I remember open chat. Now, just he's talking about Mike Mitchell, the guy. I just want to let people know, Bo. Mike Mitchell was a strength coach for us. He was a certified trainer for my school back then, and he was also the director of operations for the most part. He oversaw everything, like the general manager, kind of like Seth. What you're not on my show, basically, it was Mike Mitchell what he did. So go ahead, Bo. I'm sorry.
No, so you go. Let me see that. And you take the paper. You look, Mike. What the hell is open chat? And everybody just paused. And then Mike's trying to explain himself. And you start, no, hold on, let me read this. And you're reading it, and it's just these ridiculous labels for every part of the class, and you just start cutting a promo on them.
Yeah.
And everybody's just dying.
No wonder why he doesn't talk to me anymore, but I digress. No, I'm joking. No, I talk to him. Yeah, man, it was, I got to tell you, it's interesting to me, again, you going into NXT when you did, like back when you first went in. And obviously the difference is because, like, I got to be honest, like, the concept that I had was similar to the way NXT started. But obviously the machine behind NXT and the money and the penetration TV-wise and the worldwide, you know, phenom that the WWE is, how could I compete with something like that? I wasn't trying. I was just trying to do a finishing school, but I was doing it by myself. But do you see, I mean, this is not a self-serving thing. I'm just curious for a reason. Do you see any kind of similarities to what I was trying to accomplish with the Team Taz Dojo Finishing School to your early days in NXT when you first started there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the same concept. We would work out with Mike, and then we'd go in the ring with you, and then we'd sit down and watch tape. And it's really kind of the same kind of class structure that we go through on a daily basis here.
Well, that's cool, and it's great to see that there's a, I feel just an outlet for talent, male or female, and besides the fact that what WWE or NXT, I should say, is really doing with the females is phenomenal. I mean, some of the talent there, I'm not to get off course here, Bull, but I mean, girls like Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, I mean, Charlotte, just tremendous, amazing athletes and wrestlers. It's awe-inspiring, I got to tell you.
It's amazing to be around them because everybody here is so hungry. And the cool thing that, you know, as much as people will watch, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff on the network and everything like that, but the coolest thing about it is guys like Michael Hayes, guys like Triple H, who's the powers that be, as people say, how hands-on they are with everything that we're doing. And if you have a problem with something, or if you have a question on something, or how something should be done, they're right there. They're easily accessible. There's no closed door. It's just, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, you can bounce ideas off them. And to have them right there doing that, I think is something that's revolutionary to
well,
the development system.
I think that's a great point you just made, and I didn't realize that experts and professionals to that level were that accessible to you all the time. I think that helps on a lot of levels, Bull, telling you as a guy with experience in myself where, you know, when I was a wrestler and a worker or a superstar, whatever you want to call me, in the WWE when I first came in, it was a little bit of a different story. So there was no NXT, and it was a very tough locker room in regards to the men and women that were in the locker room. It was a very salty environment, and it was a tough environment. It was the knives were out. It was politics involved, of course, in any business. I don't care if it's wrestling, anything. And I'm sure there still isn't any facet of our business, as we know. But I got to say, going into the main roster, if you have something like an NXT or someone like a Michael Hayes or a Billy Gunn or a Triple H, obviously, or Matt Bloom, that you can go to and confide in and get some information from, or how do I do this? How do I go about that? What I hear when I hear that is preparation. It prepares you not just physically for that next level, but how to position yourself the right way. And when you hear the word position, people think it's a negative position, it's politics, and that's not what I mean. I mean, how do you word things? You learn how to, when you talk to an agent now at the main roster, if you're not crazy about something they have lined up for you, how to talk about it, how to make it better, how to own it better. And I didn't have that training. You know, I guys from my world, we didn't have that, you know? So I think that it shows the evolution of the business. And I tip my cap to the WWE for doing something like that. Because that was the toughest part for me, to be honest with you, on, you know, being in the WWE. How and when, how not to say things, how not to get heat, you know, that kind of thing. Tippy-toeing around that. And it seems like you guys are more prepared for that now, thanks to NXT. And sorry for the long-winded thing. I just cut a long soundbite promo. But there you go. It's my show. I kind of can do whatever I want. You know what I'm saying?
But no, you're 100% right. And I think the coolest part is we're over-prepared in a sense because we get thrown into every situation that you would find on the main roster.
Yeah.
I think it's something that it is an over-preparedness to make sure that no matter what gets thrown at you, you're on your toes and you're ready to go and you can handle it.
Yeah, see, it sounds like it's just what they're teaching you cats and what they're working with you guys on. It's not just being a better worker and a better promo cutter or a better professional, but it's teach you, and it's going to sound crazy for those that never been in the wrestling business or sports entertainment. This industry, to be successful, you have to acknowledge and accept that it's a lifestyle. It's not a job. And being there and being around the business every day and dealing with the business every day, I'm sure you realize, bro, it's a lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. It's like nothing else anybody will ever experience. It's crazy and it's hectic, but it's easily the most amazing business in the world.
Totally is. And look, you know as well as I, there are a plethora of guys that would love to be in your spot. Probably guys you came up in the business with that would love to be in that role that you're in. But kudos to you, bro, that you were able to pull that off. Now stay there and hone your craft and then move up into that main roster spot and kick ass, because I know you're going to.
No, thanks, man. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate it.
And so what's your vision, bro? What's your vision of you in the next, I don't know, 2 years? What would you say?
Well, hopefully, obviously staying healthy is the number one thing. And I think just being here and getting better and being around all these great minds is something that, you know, you for certain days you don't want to let go of it because you're like, you're learning something every day, so it's pretty cool. But at the end of the day, you just got to take what you learned. And I was lucky enough to have experiences with guys like you and Matt Bourne and Doring and all those guys you mentioned. And to take that, mix it with what I'm learning here, and then just always keep everything and put it together and move up and hopefully kick some tail on the main roster.
I think you will accomplish that sooner rather than later. And I'll tell you, it was a pleasure catching up with you. You know, we haven't talked in a long time. And maybe, you know, texting, yeah, but an actual conversation, no one talks anywhere anyway. You're just texting. Everybody just texts now, you know. But my new gimmick is I'm going to FaceTime people. I'm going to FaceTime everybody. I'm not going to text them. I want to look at your face when I talk to you. Anybody.
That's my gimmick. Well, I do have a word to the wise for anybody that sees Taz in an airport. Get out of the way.
Wait a minute. Why? What did I do? I actually remember. Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
All right. So you had lined up an opportunity for me to get looked at by the people at TNA.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
Yeah. Well,
that was a long time ago. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm on the same flight back as you to New York, and I'm going, all right, I'm going to get there nice and early, show Taz, and I'm being professional, and all right, here we go. I'm going to get there. I'm going to do this. So I go, I get my coffee, I go, and you're already there. First one in line, and you're just staring a hole through this poor woman. At least I thought she was a poor woman. And she's behind the airline desk, and you're just staring a hole.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, what's going on? And he just, listen, bro, you go up to that woman, you ask her if this flight's originating in Orlando. And I go, what? Just do it. You won't even make eye contact. You're just looking right at her. I'm like, okay, so excuse me, is this flight originating in Orlando? I don't know. And she just starts going off on me. Oh, whoa. So I walk back. So, yeah, it's early for everybody. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And then flying on Southwest.
Well, that's where the heat was. Right there. That's
yeah, the elderly women start getting on the wheelchairs.
Yeah, it's all a work. Yeah, you know, when you fly Southwest. No, see, here's the thing. Here's the gimmick. When you fly Southwest, Southwest has the most handicap accessible people that are working, that everybody needs a friggin' wheelchair. I've been flying for years. You fly Southwest, everybody's in a friggin' wheelchair before they got, because you know why? They want to get on the plane first. So guys like me that were A-list, whatever, because I flew so much with that shitty airline, I got to do the job for the old guy in the wheelchair that could walk faster than me. Sorry.
So, well, it didn't end there because we got on the plane, and then a woman and her daughter took the exit row, and you weren't pleased about that either.
No.
But I will tie it all together. So coming back from Albany for NXT, I see guys at the Southwest desk, and they're paying for upgrades.
Yeah.
Paying up $40 extra legroom, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you know what? I'll take my past experiences and I'll apply them. And I go up to the desk and I tell the lady I got a knee injury and this and that.
There you go.
Before you know it, I'm on board before all of them.
And the story comes full circle.
And the story. Yep.
So you become one of those workers in the wheelchair. That's good, bro. That's good. That's nice. A guy,
if you
it's
can't
not like,
beat him, join him.
It's not like yeah, can't beat him, join. It's not like you're in a business where, I don't know, maybe you could actually really get hurt and you don't need that bad luck, but whatever. Oh, geez. Well, look, man, it's been great catching up with you both. Seriously.
No, absolutely, man. Definitely.
And when you become like a huge star on Raw and SmackDown, you know, and I want to have you back on the show, don't blow me off to the office. You know what I'm saying?
Never, absolutely not.
I'm going to hold you to that. We have you on record. So, all right.
That deal.
All right, bro, look, keep rocking and rolling. I'm a fan. Keep doing your thing, man. Much love and be good, bro.
Thanks, Dad. You too, man. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, buddy. See ya. The Human Podcast Machine. Break time!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. Welcome back right here to the Human Podcast Machine. This is Taz, and man, I had a blast in this particular episode. Hope you guys did, too. I want to thank the WWE and NXT, obviously, and most importantly, Bull Dempsey for coming on here and WWE letting Bull jump on here. Hopefully, you'll hear some more NXT stars in the future here on HPM with yours truly. So, I want to thank you, Seth, for jumping in and ruining the show in the beginning. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, you're the man. And we'll be back at you next week with some more shows right here on Play.it, the lovely podcast platform for CBS Radio.
Play it!
Play it! And that's it. Have a good weekend. Have a lovely time. If you're listening to this during the weekend, I hope the weekend's going good. If the weekend's not going good, sorry, not my problem. All right, that's really the deal. What's the matter? What are you laughing at? What did I say wrong?
You're just such a nice guy.
I'm just being honest. I don't know. You maybe listen to this thing on a Sunday, and I don't know, your girlfriend left you on Saturday, so you're not having a good weekend. Or maybe it is a good weekend. I don't know.
Well, you're there. You're there regardless.
I'm there. I'm always there. I'm the most accessible audio personality, entertainer, mega star that you're going to hear.
Boom.
Exactly. I'm Taz. You're not. Adios.